going to talk about stress this morning, as you've probably picked up already. And I just want you to realize the state of the society, the culture that we live in. And as I read these out, I want you just to complete these out loud just so you can see what I'm talking about. Would you complete these sentences with me? I'm all stressed. I'm all shook. I'm at the end of my, I'm coming on, glued, done. I'm about to fall up. I'm ready to throw in the, this is the culture, the society that we live in. This is the level of stress that we all deal with. You guys are obviously pros at stress. You knew all the answers. But really, stress is not as much the problem as it is the symptom of the problem, and that's what I want to look at this morning. What is beneath what is causing all the stress in our lives? As we did the youth this morning, meeting at Krispy Kreme, which, by the way, if you haven't been to Krispy Kreme yet, it's a great place to have a youth lesson. We were talking about stress and middle school, high school. You talk about the stress level with kids today. Incredible. And so what I want us to do this morning, because I actually took this outline and we worked through it as a group, I want to talk about stress. But what I want to do, as I mentioned earlier, is I want to look at the life of Christ, because Christ, not only as the Word, came to teach us through His words, but He specifically, by God's plan, lived a life on this earth, fully human, fully God, for the reason of modeling also how He wants us to live. And in the life of Christ, it is a beautiful picture of someone, remember, fully human, that is cool, calm, collected, in spite of pressure, criticism, enormous stress, enormous things happening to him in the negative, very little private time to himself, people pulling him from all sides, being misunderstood, misjudged, and yet how did he walk through the society and the culture that he lived in? When you look at Jesus' life, it reflects a life of balance and calm and peace. And so you say, well, what is it about his life? What did he do? What can we see in the pages of Scripture that made his life so stress-resistant? And I'd like to look at that this morning. So take your outline, if you will. I've got most of the scriptures in there. We're going to flip all around. But what I've done, as you've seen your outline, is I've left a space after each one of the things I see in the pages of Scripture from the life of Christ. And you'll have to write in a little line there if you have a pen or pencil. And these are seven principles, if you will, biblical principles from Christ's life that you and I can use to handle the stress, the pressure in our life. So number one, you see there where it says the principle of identification? Here's where you write, I must know who I am. Just write that right after identification. I must know who I am. This is the first stress resistor. Until you and I can settle this issue, you will be an easy target for stress from every area of your life. Think of it in Jesus' case. Now, Christ had no doubt about his identity. When you look at the pages of Scripture, he knew exactly who he was, why he was there. In fact, 18 times I counted in Scripture, Jesus defines himself. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the truth and life, the light of the world, the Son of God, the Messiah, the door, the vine. I am the one who brings life. John 8:12, Mark 14:62. John 14:6, John 6:35, and on and on and on. There is no doubt in his mind as he walks through this life who he is. And in fact, in your outline, I've got John 18. He says, I testify on my own behalf. That was a passage I read earlier. And simply what he was saying, because he was being harangued by the religious leaders of the day, and in that passage of John, he is saying, you know what? I am not dependent upon you, religious leaders. I am not dependent upon people to validate myself. And so, trying to be something that you aren't doesn't work. We were talking about that this morning with peer pressure, especially with youth. Don't worry about what you're not. God created you perfectly. And so God made you to be you. And when you settle that issue, it will dramatically, like in the life of Christ, reduce the stress because you are not worried about what people think. Jesus was not worried about what the religious leaders or those who led the synagogues and the faith base of the people that he came to. He was not worried about what they thought. God does not want copiers. And God does not want clones. And that's what I was trying to impress so much with the youth, is that never play the comparison game. Never worry about what you're not. Never worry about, I wish I was like this person or that person, or I look like that, or I had that. I told them that old saying, if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, you can believe the water bill is higher. Don't ever think they've got it all together. I wish I was them. You have to know who you are. You have to settle that area. And so be what God made you to be. He made each one of you unique. Look at number two, the principle of dedication. This is where you write, I must know who I am trying to please. Who I am trying to please. So not only this first principle from Christ's life, I must know who I am, but that second one there in dedication, I must know who I am trying to please, because this is the second cause of so much stress in people's lives. And when you and I feel like we have to please everybody, we have to make people happy. And that is one of the myths in our culture, is I must make people happy. I must have them like me. I must be liked by everybody in order to be happy. And it's just a losing proposition. You must know who you are, and you must know who you are there to please and settle that. John 5:30, this was Jesus. He settled the issue. I only try to please the one who sent me. In other words, it's like that song, I'm going to live for an audience of one. And so however Jesus was attacked, whatever happened to him, he not only knew who he was, the identity, but whose he was, and who he was there to please. And if you do what God wants you to do, if you're confident what God's will and purpose is for your life, it is always the right thing to do, no matter what anybody thinks or says. It simplifies life because you don't have to please the opposition, you only have to please the one who sent you. And so Jesus never worried about what? Fear of rejection. Jesus never worried about what? Need for approval, and yet it drives us as people so much. So Jesus knew who he was, he knew whose he was, who he was trying to please, and he says, you know what? Here's what I want you to say about yourself by the life that he lived. I am a child of God. You can be confident of that. I know who I am, I know whose I am. I'm a child of God. I'm deeply loved. Christ died for me. And then you know who you're trying to please, the Heavenly Father. No one can pressure you without your permission. So you know who I am, your identity. You know who you're trying to please, your dedication. And then look at number three, prioritization. This is where you write, I must know what I want to accomplish. What I want to accomplish. Because you don't have time for everything. So you've got to know what you want to accomplish. Jesus walked through his life and he says, you know what? I can either be led by priorities or by pressures. And the same is still true of your life. You know what? Priorities are what I believe God wants me to do. They're the things that will make the eternal difference. They are of the most value. The priorities are in my life are what I believe the one who I am trying to please because of who I am and whose I am. Those are my priorities. The pressures are what everybody else wants me to do. The tyranny of the urgent. So what about Jesus? John 8:14. I know where I came from and where I am going. So he says, you know what? I've got clear-cut goals in my life. I know whose I am. I know who I am. I know what I'm trying to accomplish and what's more important. And I have this purpose, these priorities. And so I'm not worried about all these pressures. He says, I know what I want to accomplish. Luke 4:43, this issue of prioritization, he says, I must proclaim the good news, for I was sent for this purpose. You think of all the times Jesus said must. I must work while it's daytime. All the things where he says, I came to do. I came to give life. I came to seek and save the lost. I came to bring not peace but a sword. All these I must and I came. What they speak about in Christ's life is he knew exactly what his purpose and his priorities were. He knew what he was trying to accomplish. It was clear in his mind. He was able to stay focused on that purpose, and he was driven by a great purpose. And so each day when you get up, you can sit there and thank the Lord for another day of life and then say, Lord, what is the most important thing that I can accomplish today? What is really going to make a difference of eternal value? What is it that's really going to please you? What am I confident that you have set out for me to do? And that leads to the fourth point, which is that concentration, principle of concentration. We see this so beautifully in the life of Christ. And you right there, focus on what is important. Focus on what is important. So first, you know who you are, and then you know who you're trying to please, and then you know what you're trying to accomplish, which leads us in Christ's life and our life today to this one. You focus on what is most important and don't get distracted by all the trivia. Here's something I've learned a long time ago, and I know you've seen it in your life. If Satan cannot get you to do wrong, if Satan cannot trip you up where he just makes you fall in one fell swoop, he will get you to do a bunch of good things that will wear you out and keep you from the most important things. He will keep you so busy with some good things that he will keep you from investing time and energy spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically in the best things that will matter the most. And Jesus is a master at concentration. He focused his life like a laser, and light focused has power. Light diffused does not. Luke 9:51. As the time drew near for his return to heaven, he moved steadily onward towards Jerusalem with an iron will. In other words, what that is saying is that Christ modeled persistence and determination and focus. Paul was a master of this. In Philippians, he says, this one thing I do, this one thing I do. The problem with us today is it's these 40 things that I dabble in. And they keep, there may be good things, but they keep us from the best things and they cause stress. And so, what is really important in life? Paul says, this one thing I do, but I don't have time for a quiet time. I don't have time to get in a small group. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to be involved in a ministry or to serve others. And when I stand in heaven before God one day and he says, why didn't you do the things that would help you grow? Why didn't you do the things that would serve me and advance my kingdom? And I say, I didn't have time. And he's going to look at me and go, huh? Look at the model of the life of Christ. Set your priorities. Don't be distracted. A couple of guys came to Jesus one day and they said, Lord, we would like to serve you, but you know what? We just don't have time. We're really busy. We've got these things we've got to get done in our lives. And this is how he responded, Luke 9:62. Anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. Pretty strong words. Luke 10:40-42. Martha was distracted, so Jesus said, you are worried and bothered about so many things. Doesn't describe any of us, does it? You are worried and bothered about so many things. But then Jesus goes on, but only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. He says, seek first the kingdom, and what happens? All these other things will be brought into focus. Concentration. Look at 5, delegation. Delegation. This is where you write, let other people help me. You see, we get under stress because we feel like we have to do it all ourselves. We feel like we are the general manager of the universe. We are holding everything up, holding everything together. And what delegation means that we saw so beautifully in the life of Christ is that you accomplish things through other people. You let other people help you. And so we finish this sentence. You know, if you want a job well done, do it yourself. Isn't that right? Yeah. That's the motto of the perfectionist headed for burnout. Recovering workaholic. I can tell you the truth of that. Think of the egotism behind that statement. If I want something done, I better do it myself. If anything is going to be right, then I need to do it. Now think for a moment. Who actually had the right to say that? Jesus Christ. He was perfect. Do you think Jesus could have preached better than the apostles? Sure, of course. Why didn't he? Why did he send out the 70 in pairs? Why did he accomplish all that he did? He could have done it better than any of them. He was perfect. But he didn't try to do it all himself. Instead, in Mark 3:14, he appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. He got other people involved in ministry. He needed to model that. And God says, what do you think I gave you the church for? Folks, think of the thing that you are under the most stress right now. Whatever it is in your life. And let me tell you, right here, right now, probably not 5-10 feet from you, is somebody that could help you with that problem, that could relieve that stress in your life, either through encouragement or advice or a listening ear or a shoulder to cry on or practical assistance or encouragement. There are people here in this church that are going through, have gone through, or are willing to help you go through something. If you're just willing, if you're just humble enough to say, you know what, I just need somebody to hold my hand, walk me through this, pray for me. Why don't we allow other people to do this, and why do we keep it to ourselves and allow our stress level to go up? Two reasons, insecurity and pride. Insecurity. I'm afraid what other people will think. What if they know I'm dealing with this or I'm struggling with this? What will they think? You know what they think? They'll think, you're just like everybody else. You're just like me. That's what they'll think. We all have problems. We all have hang-ups. We all have things we struggle with. We all have stress in our lives. And God didn't mean for you to be a lone ranger. He says, I'm going to give you the fellowship of the saints, brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of Christ, so that you can get help with other people, from other people, so that you can get involved. 58 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another. Love one another, care for one another, encourage one another, help one another, greet one another, share with one another, on and on and on and on. This little church has enough potential to care for every need that we have with everyone here this morning if we just let other people help us. And when you do that, your stress goes down. Look at number 6, meditation. This is where you write, make a habit of prayer. Now, prayer is a great stress reliever. All that means is simply you. Look at the Psalms. You talking to God. You pouring your heart out to God. You being mad at God. God's big enough, he can take it. You telling God exactly how you feel. You're unloading your burdens. You're telling him what you're struggling with, what the stressors are. And when you study the life of Christ, you see no matter how busy he got, no matter what was happening, he always took time to pray. Luke 5:15-16. He had all of this output going, and so he needed some input. News about Jesus spread even more. Crowds came to hear him and to be healed, but Jesus often slipped away to be alone so he could pray. And you need time alone too, and you need to get alone with God too. You need to read God's word. You need to pray. You need to talk to him. You need to allow him to talk back to you. And so you can reflect and recharge and renew. That's what Christ modeled. And he said, you can never be too busy not to pray. Look at 7, relaxation. We find this in Jesus' life. This is where you write, take time to enjoy life. Stop and smell the roses. Those of you who are workaholics, listen to a simple truth. Rest and relaxation are not a waste of time. They are not bad things. Jesus habitually took time off. Do you think there was more people that needed to be healed? Yes. Do you think there was more people that needed to be saved? Yes. Do you think there was more people that need to be delivered from bondage and terrible things? Yes. But in spite of that, he still took time off. And so do you think that your life and your job is more important than Jesus, than his job, than what he had to do? No. Take time off. Mark 6:31. Crowds of people were coming and going so that they did not even have time to eat. He, Jesus, said to them, the disciples, come away by yourselves and we will go to a lonely place to get some rest. He looks at his disciples, they're all haggard and worn out, and he says, guys, we need a break, so he takes them out to the desert. Matthew 11:19, Jesus came and joined life. He had fun, he enjoyed life. The Pharisees always harangued him, you know, you're partying, you come eating and drinking, you're a wine bibber, you're a glutton, all these things he would say about him, and he says, I'm enjoying life, I'm enjoying people. Do you want to be Christ-like? And enjoy life. Life was not meant just to be endured. It was meant to be enjoyed. And Jesus modeled that. Stress is increasing and increasing. And if we don't take intentional steps that we can see in the pages of Scripture to counteract that, you and I will not survive. And if there's any areas of our life that we do not submit to the authority, the lordship of Christ, and ask our Father and our Lord to help us on, they become a source of stress because we were not meant to live apart from the Spirit of Christ. And so if you're stressed out this morning, I got an offer that Jesus gave over 2,000 years ago. It's an incredible offer. It's one you won't get anywhere else. It still stands today. And he said this, come to me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you a lot more to do. Is that what he said? Come to me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you rules and regulations that you can't possibly keep. Is that what he said? Come to me, all of you who are tired and heavy loaded, and I will give you rest. Learn from me. You'll find rest for your lives. The teaching I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light. That means if you are carrying a heavy load this morning and you are under terrible stress, it's not one that God put on you. He says, the load I have, the plan I have for your life is light. It's bearable. It's manageable. And he says still today, I invite you to accept my offer. So let's talk to him this morning about our stress. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, you know every heart in this room. You know every hurt in this room. You know exactly what he or she has gone through or is going through. You know where the healing needs to come from, Father. You know the stress that each individual here feels, the private pain, hidden wounds, hurts and sorrows. You sense the grief, the pressure, the stress, and you care. You still stand with that offer today. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you that you are personally acquainted with each and every one of our individual situations this morning, and that you've promised to give us a lighter burden. I ask you to fulfill that promise in each and every life represented here today. Help us to follow the steps that you modeled so beautifully, Christ, through your life on earth. Help us to practice the principles that you use to reduce the stress in your life. But most of all, help us to depend on your power to do it and not our own. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen.